Today we will be celebrating the Lord's table. We plan our service to be centered on Christ and his death. That's the purpose of having the Lord's table. We do not tack it on to a lot of other stuff. In fact, we try to avoid having a lot of other stuff and have worship each time we meet, true worship. But beyond that, when it's time for us to come to the Lord's table, the scripture readings, the hymns, the sermon, are all purposed to point you, to point us to Christ, to put him in our mind vividly and in our hearts affectionately. And that is the way we need to prepare ourselves to come and partake of this ordinance of the church. I've chosen this morning to address the issues surrounding our Lord's post-resurrection appearance. Turn with me to Luke, chapter 24. Our Lord's post-resurrection appearance. Luke 24 and 36, and while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst. But they were startled and frightened, thought that they were seeing his spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And then verse 40. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. What did the disciples see when they looked upon the hands and the feet of our Lord? They saw scars. They saw wounds. Those scars and wounds had been inflicted upon Christ during the crucifixion. We have the words of our Lord spoken to Thomas after the resurrection. And after 8 days again, his disciples were inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came and the doors having been shut and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see me and yet believed." The resurrected and the glorified Christ bears in his body the wounds of Calvary. If he had been pleased to do so, he could have erased those scars from his body. But he chose to bear them for all eternity. We do well in our time of preparing for the communion service to contemplate, why did he choose to bear these scars? Well, we will consider that under three headings. Number one, what effect did these visible wounds have upon the disciples? Secondly, why is it that Christ continues to bear these scars upon his body? And thirdly, what is here to be learned by the fact that he still bears those scars even today? So then, number one, what effect did these visible wounds have upon the disciples? Those wounds were an infallible proof that he indeed was the same person that was crucified. He said, "Behold my hands and my feet," and then think about this, "that it is I myself." He himself is pointing to the necessity of being properly and accurately identified as Christ to these disciples. Who else would bear those scars? It was to establish this identity, that it was the very same Jesus whom they had followed, whom they had not deserted, whom they had beheld being crucified. The very same one that was buried in the tomb. You see, had not such evidence been given, it is possible that his disciples would have been unbelieving enough to doubt the identity of his person. Who is this? What's going on here? It's interesting in many situations that we confront in life. Just a little bit of doubt cracks the door, and pretty soon it grows and can become a very serious issue. Obviously, Christ knew it was necessary to make sure that the disciples had no doubts as to his identity. It's him. This is a post-resurrection appearance. His body was flesh and bone, but nevertheless, it had miraculous powers. It was capable of entering into a room without the ordinary modes of access. We find our Savior standing in the midst of his disciples, the doors being shut. We might say he had a spiritual body. And I believe that this spiritual body possessed certain glorious qualities about it that the disciples would have had reason to doubt, that is this really the same Jesus, unless there had been some deeply engraven physical marks of identity. The disciples looked upon the very face, but even then they doubted. There was a majesty about him which was most of them had not seen. Peter, James, John had seen him transfigured, but the rest of the disciples had only seen him as a man of sorrows. They had not seen him as a glorious Lord. And therefore, they would be apt to doubt, is this the same Christ? These nail prints, the pierced side, were marks which they could not dispute. And they were convinced, and they confessed, that he was the Lord. And even doubting Thomas was constrained to cry out, "My Lord and my God." Thoroughly convinced. But secondly, the question arises, why is it that Christ continues to bear these marks upon his body? Let me suggest some reasons. First of all, in heaven, the wounds of Christ will be a theme of eternal wonder to the angels. One of the older commentators said, it represents the angels as saying, "O Lord of glory, what are these wounds in thy hand?" The angels had seen him depart from heaven, and they had gone with him as far as they might go, singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth." Some of them had watched him through his pilgrimage, because it says he was seen of angels. But when he returned, I doubt not that they crowded around him, bowed before him in adoration. They were enabled to behold for themselves in heaven the man who had suffered. And they could see the wounds which were produced in his body by those sufferings. And I can readily imagine that this would cause them to lift their song even higher. You see, the wounds of Christ are part of his glory. We may think of Christ in his beauty as revealed in his earthly ministry in raising the dead and stilling the tempest, but there never was such a matchless Christ as he that hung upon the cross. Because it's on the cross we behold his beauties. All of his attributes were gloriously manifested. What are some of those attributes? His love. The attribute of his mercy. The attribute of his sovereign grace. Where do we see those manifested? We see them as our Lord is on the cross. Gloriously manifested in his suffering. Those scars, dear people, are like ornaments. Our Lord does not care for the splendor and pomp of kings. The thorn crown is his diadem. A diadem such as no other king has ever worn. and the scars which he still bears in his body are trophies. The trophies of his love. A love which brought him to suffer and die on behalf of those whom he came to save. I believe there's another reason why our Lord continues to bear those wounds. And I believe it's because when he intercedes, and he does intercede for his people, he may use them, he may employ them as powerful advocates. Think with me. Watts, the hymn writer, paraphrases the idea when he says, "Looks like a lamb that has been slain and wears his priesthood still." I like that. There's yet another reason, and I would say a very sobering reason, why Christ wears his wounds still, and it is this. Christ is coming again to judge the world. Christ shall come a second time to judge the world in righteousness, seated on the great white throne. That hand of his, scarred as it is, will be the terror of the wicked. You know, I'm afraid that little thought is given to the truth that a day and a judge has been appointed. A day and a judge has been appointed. Turn with me to Acts 17, verse 31. Acts 17:31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. I say, a day and a judge has been appointed. And often I have used this, I thought it's true, in witnessing to others. We all know what it is to have an appointment. And increasingly so, it seems that the medical field has used technology to make sure you don't miss that appointment by giving us several reminders. And we put a lot of importance on keeping that appointment. I missed an appointment one time that was very important. I was a juvenile probation officer and I had been invited to give a speech at a Rotarian club, civic club, about the department, and I totally forgot. Went blissfully on my way until the chief probation officer called me in. He said, "Did you forget something?" I said, "I don't think so." And then he told me I had forgotten to make that speech. I can't tell you how awful I felt. This appointment will be kept. The judge will be there. And he bears the trophies of his grace. Fourthly, there is another reason why Christ bears the scars. And that's so you and I may never forget that our Lord has died for us. And that's really why we're coming to the table, isn't it? To remember that. Do this in remembrance of me. We shall need perhaps nothing to refresh our memories in heaven, but still, even if we should, we will have them there. When we shall have been in heaven thousands of years, we shall still have the death of Christ before us. We shall see Him reigning for all eternity. Well, there are some things we learn. Now, I just want to mention two or three. Number one, we learned from these scars that it was absolutely necessary for our Lord to suffer. That was foreordained in eternity past. And it's a reality. And it continues to be a reality day by day. Then, secondly, from the wounds of Christ, we learn of what we might express in these terms. He is sympathetic with His people in their suffering. It is as if Christ is saying, I'm not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He can say, I have suffered also. The scars which our Lord bears are tokens of the love that He has for His people. Well, there are other truths that we could emphasize, but we will close here. And I want us to come to the table and participate today in these elements that we have as a reminder of the infinite love of our Lord that's suffering in our place. Let's pray. Father, use these truths to prepare us to receive these elements, and may we be made much aware of all that they mean and should mean to us today. Help us, Lord, in these next moments to do what we do in remembrance of our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.